The last point that we made in yesterday's shiur here in Megillah Daf Chesam Ed Beis, the Reb Kveger in his Tosafos on the Mishnayos asks on this Mishnah about the concept called Shalokis Sidron. If Tefillin are written Shalokis Sidron Epsulos, and that's codified by the Megillah, by the Mechilta at the end of Parshas Bo, whereas the Poskim say that although this psul of Shalokis Sidron applies to mezuzah as well, it does not apply to a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah Shalokis Sidron is kosher, and that would be an additional exception to the Ein Bein, meaning Ella, that would be a distinction between Sefer Torah on the one hand and mezuzah on the other hand. And he quotes a tshuva that goes pretty far with this, and says that Shalokis Sidron is a psul that's Eino Nikar al Sefer, except for the Zman Ksiva, and that's not included in the scope of this Mishnah. The Chassam Sofer answers that there's a distinction between Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah as far as Ksiva Kisidron, and that's implicit in our Mishnah, because as we're going to learn today, Mirtz Hashem, the psul of Shal Lashonos and Tefillin and Mezuzah is derived from the Pasuk V'Hoyu B'Aviyosun Yiyu, the way it was given in Matan Torah, and that includes the Psul of Shalokis Sidron, because that's not the way it was given in Matan Torah. And we mentioned the Meshivas Nofesh, who really went very far with this, and he says that Lule Shemakavlam Aleinu Divrei Rishonim V'Poskim, he would have said that there's no psul in tefillin of Shalokis Sidron unless the psukim are written actually out of order. And the chiddush here in tefillin is that even though this is not a mitzvah of kriya, there's no mitzvah of kriya in the parashas of tefillin, nevertheless Shalokis Sidron is possible. As far as Sefer Torah is concerned, in that situation of Shalokis Sidron mamish, then it would certainly pshita that it would be possible. And therefore, in effect, there's no difference between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin on the other hand. We also mentioned the Tirutz of the Achronim based on the Sugyan Sota, that every parsha in the Torah has to be written in a way that you can fulfill all the mitzvahs with those parshias. And we have this case of Megillah Sota. You can take a Megillah Sota actually from the Sefer Torah, and the Gemara in Sota quotes him on the Omer that we don't put kankantum into dio in the writing of Parshas Sota in the Sefer Torah, because since you're allowed to take Parshas Sota from the Sefer Torah itself, we're afraid that if he does so in this kankantum in the dio, then it's not roi limochik. The Maril Diskin says that the Taz would be very helpful here. The Taz says that if he was marked in Parshas V'Hoyim Shema to Parshas Shema, then the mezuzah is kshera, and the psul of Shalokis Sidron only applies within the Parsha itself, that same Parsha. And in the case of Tefillin, the Taz is moded that it's a psul of Shalokis Sidron even in Parshios, right? Not just within a Parsha, but from one Parsha to the other, even in Osa Parsha. But since there's a difference between Tefillin and Mezuzah with regard to Shalokis Sidron, the Mishnah didn't want to mention. So we're here on Ches Amud Beis, and the Gemara points out here that there's a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. And that's two lines up before the end of Daf Ches Amud Beis. And you'll see that in the middle of that line, three lines up before the end of the Amud, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the relevant part of the Mishnah, which says that Svarim Nichtovim B'chol Lashon, that a Sefer Torah could be written in any language. V'raminhu, and we now have a contradiction from the Braisa, because the Braisa says the following, that if you write a Sefer Torah and you change the language of the Psukim, the Braisa gives two examples of that. But then we're going to go on, and what's most important for us is the next part of the Braisa, which says Ksav Ivri, meaning if you didn't write it in Ksav Ashuris, in all these cases, the Sefer Torah does not have the status of a Sefer Torah. It's not kosher. So let's talk about the first two cases, and then we'll get to the third, which is the most important for our purposes. The first two cases are where he switched Mikra, and instead of writing it B'Lashon Kodesh, he wrote it B'Lashon Targum. That's called, in the language of the Braisa, Mikra Sheksavo Targum. And then in the opposite case, V'Targum Sheksavo Mikra. Or the Torah itself has it written in Targum, and yet he wrote it in Lashon Kodesh. What's the example of something that's written in the Torah in Targum? That's in Bereishis Perek Lamed Aleph. It says Yigar Sa'adusa. So instead of writing Yigar Sa'adusa, as we have in our Sfarim, he wrote Gal Ein. Yigar Sa'adusa is the Aramaic. It's the Aramaic translation. It's the Targum for Gal Ein. Okay, now we get to the most important part of the Braisa, and the Braisa has a case of Ksav Ivri. Now the word Ivri is Miloshin Yoshim the Eivra Hanor, right, the Jews that live on the other side. And in this case, instead of writing it in Ashuris, he wrote it in Ksav Ivri. Again, if you have we're not going to do this right now, but if you have the classical Sidurim that are not here, they're downstairs, two flights, you'll see that they have a picture of Ksav Ivri and a picture of Ksav Ashuris. So how does this Braisa formulate the Psul? How does this Psul express itself? And the Braisa goes on to say, Eino metame ese yadayim, that in any of the above mentioned cases, which include three, Mikra Sheksavu Targum, Targum Sheksavu Mikra, or if it was written in Ksav Ivri, in all these three cases, how do I measure, how does the psul of the Sefer express itself? It's not Metame Es HaYadayim. If you remember, we said that all Sfarim are Metame Es HaYadayim. And if you recall, we said in the Gemara that this is common to both Sfarim and to Tefillin and Mezuzah. They're all Metame Es HaYadayim. Here, since he did not fulfill the requirements, the conditions necessary for the writing of a Sefer Torah, therefore it's not Metame Es HaYadayim. Ad, when would the conditions be necessary? When would the conditions that are necessary be fulfilled such that the Sefer Torah's Metame Es HaYadayim has a full-fledged status as a Sefer Torah? Achir Tevenu. Now here is a Girsa problem. You may have in your text the next word, Biksav. Do you have that?
Yes.
Okay, so you should know that we really want to, the Marshal points out, we really want to take out this word, Biksav. And he proves that Rashi doesn't have this word, Tosfos doesn't have this word. Somehow it crept into our published Gemaras. So let's read it for the time being without the word Biksav. Ajitavenu Ashuris. Because again, the real subject of our sugya, both in terms of the Mishnah and in terms of the Braisa, is what's called Lashon. It's not Ksav. So if this Braisa is telling you that the Ksav has to be Ashuris, that's not really relevant to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't set up a leniency in Sefer Torah as far as the Ksav is concerned. The subject of our Mishnah is what's called the Lashon, not the Ksav. Do you follow me? The Ksav is the Tzuras HaOsios. The Tzuras HaOsios for sure have to be Ashuris in the Sefer Torah, even according to our Mishnah. That would not be a contradiction. That would be a reconciliation. So the problem that the Gemara is raising here is not Biksav Ashuris, but Ashuris means that the Lashon is Ashuris. And that's what the Braisa is requiring. Our Mishnah says that the Lashon could be what? It could be any Lashon, correct? And this Braisa insists that the Lashon has to be Lashon Ashuris.
Then the Braisa says something that's not surprising to us, and it's not really, again, relevant to our question here of a stira between the Braisa and our Mishnah. And that is that a Sefer Torah, in order to be kosher, it has to be written al ha-sefer. Ha-sefer means it has to be written on a gvil. If you recall, we discussed yesterday, the gvil is made from an animal hide. But there are other kinds of objects on which you could write things, like, for example, niyar, or anything else that's not made of or behema, and all this is possible, ubdiyo, and a Sefer Torah has to be written with diyo. And again, if we were learning Masechta Gittin, we would learn through the whole sugya of what constitutes diyo and the chemical makeup of diyo and so forth and so on. In any event, at this point, the Gemara postulates the following stira. Let's get to the point of the Reminhu, of the stira. The Gemara assumes that when it says in the Mishnah, Ashuris, that a Sefer Torah has to be written in Ashuris, it means B'loshon Ashuris. Our Mishnah says that a Sefer Torah can be written B'chol Loshon. It doesn't have to be written in Loshon Ashuris. Omar Rav Alokasha. You made a mistake in your interpretation of the Braisa. And at this point, we're turning finally to Daf Tes Omid Al. Khan, our Mishnah is talking B'gofen Shalonu. Gofen Shalonu means that the Tzuras HaOsios were the classic Tzuras HaOsios of a Sefer Torah, which is namely Ashuris. Although the Lashon could be a different Lashon, any Lashon would do, but the Ksav itself has to be Ashuris.
Is this referring to the transliterated?
Correct, this is a transliteration, excellent. Khan, with the Braisa, is talking about B'gofen Shalohem. And this is the Chiddush of Rava, that when the Braisa says Adshich Tevenu B'Ashuris, you have to add the word B'Ksav Ashuris. Again, we don't have the Girsa of B'Ksav Ashuris, says the Marsha. But Rava is offering what's called an Ukimta meaning that we should assume and we should interpret that this Braisa is talking about Ksav Ashuris. That's not a contradiction to our Mishnah. Even the Braisa would agree that the Lashon could be a Lashon of any language, of any nation, any nationality, as long as the Ksav is the Ksav Ashuris. When our Mishnah says that a Sefer Torah is kosher b'chol Lashon, it's talking about begofen shalonu, which means that it's written in the Ksav Ashuris. So again, Rabosai, according to Rava, both the Mishnah and the Braisa agree that a Sefer Torah could be written in any language as long as it's got a Ksav Ashuris. The reason why the Mishnah is Machshir and the Braisa apostles it is because the Mishnah is talking about a case where he wrote it B'Ksav Ashuris, and therefore it's kosher. The Braisa is talking about a case where he wrote it B'Ksav Ivri, and since he wrote it B'Ksav Ivri and he didn't write it B'Ashuris, right? That's the Lashon Adshi Yichtevenu B'Ashuris, since the Ksav itself was the Ksav Ivri. And again, you and I, you don't need the picture in the Siddur to remind yourself of what a Ksav Ivri looks like. That's the way we write. It's not Ksav Rashi, as we call it, but it's very similar. And that's called a Ksav Ivri. It's not Ashuris. You know, you open up a Sefer Torah, and you'll see a Ksav Ashuris. So the Braisa is posseling the Sefer Torah because it was written in Ksav Ivri and not in Ksav Ashuris. The Mishnah would also agree that if you wrote a Sefer Torah in Ksav Ivri and not in Ksav Ashuris, it would be possible. The Mishnah is only talking about B'chol Lashon. B'chol Lashon, yes, but the Ksav is a Ksav Ashuris. Now let's go back for a minute to Ches Amid Beis and read the Braisa again. Does Rava's explanation of this Braisa really, really click? You know, fit into the Braisa? So you remember that the Braisa had three cases. The first two cases of the Braisa were Mikra Sheksavu Targum and Targum Sheksavu Mikra. Now this is really strange because according to Rava, the whole psul of this Braisa is in the Ksav, not in the Lashon. Now the discussion here in the beginning of this Braisa, Mikra Sheksavu Targum or Targum Sheksavu Mikra, seems to be l'chora about the Ksav itself. So you can't tell me that this Braisa, the subject of this Braisa is you know, the fact that he didn't write a Ksav Ashuris, but he wrote a Ksav Ivri. You know, if he wrote a Ksav Ivri, then the whole Sefer Torah is possible because it wasn't written in Ksav Ashuris. Why would the Braisa have to disqualify a case of Mikra Sheksavu Targum or Targum Sheksavu Mikra? Forget about it, all that. Even without that, it would be possible because he wrote a piksav ivri. He didn't write a piksav ashuris, and that's going to be Abaye's kash on Rava. Amalei Abaye. So Eric, you're with us here on Daf Tesam and Aleph, right on the second line. Amalei Abaye. Abaye turns to Rava and he says, "V'mayu kim tolahi? How did you interpret the brisa? Why does the brisa apostle? Because it was begofen shelahem, namely, it was a ksav ivri instead of a ksav." Aksavashuris, if that be the case, my ear, why does the beginning of the Brisa tell you that Mikrashiksavu Targum, that he wrote a word in Aramaic instead of in Lashon Kodesh in the Sefer? Or the flip side, Targum, the Sefer Torah was meant to be written Yigar Sadusa in Aramaic, and he wrote it in Mikra. Mikra means in Lashon Kodesh. Forget about that. The Brisa could have just simply said, Afilu Mikra Shiksavu Mikra. He wrote it exactly as he was meant to write it. Targum Shiksavu Targum. Nami would still be possible. It's not Metami Yasiyah Dayim. Why? Because he wrote it the way Rav interprets the Brisa, Begufon Shalahem. He wrote it in Ksav Ivri instead of Ksav Ashuris. Doktani, because the Sefer, the Brisa says that the Sefer Torah is not metamis yadayim achiyachtevenu ashuris ala sefer bidyo, and you're telling me that achiyachtevenu ashuris means that the reason why this Sefer Torah in the Brisa is not metamis yadayim is because it wasn't written in ksav ashuris. If it wasn't written in ksav ashuris, then the whole psul of the Sefer Torah is completely gone. So it must be, we have no choice to say that when we read this Brisa, and the first part of the Brisa says Mikra Shiksavu Targum and Targum Shiksavu Mikra Posel, it means even if he used Ksav Ashuris, correct? Because otherwise, if he didn't use Ksav Ashuris, the Sefer Torah would be Posel, not because he flipped it from Mikra to Targum or vice versa, but simply because he's lacking a Ksav. He doesn't have Gofen Shalonu. So it turns out the following, that this Brisa certainly is addressing a case where the Ksav was a Ksav Ashuris, and then the Sefer of the Brisa is telling you something about the Lashon, that the Lashon has to be Lashon Ashuris. So Rav Osai, this is a very important point. According to Abaye, the way we have to read this Brisa, and it's always kedai to flip back to Daf Ches Amud Beis and see the Brisa a second time, Abaye is going to take this Brisa and he's going to cut it in half. What do I mean by cut it in half? In the language of Shas, that's called litzdadim ketani, if you're familiar with that phrase. Litzdadim ketani means that part of the Brisa reflects a certain reality, and the other part a different reality. The scenario, the reality of the Reisha was where he wrote it in Ksav Ashuris. No, if he wrote it in Ksav Ashuris, everything is hunky-dory. Why is the Sefer Posel? The answer is because the Lashon was Posel. He didn't write in the correct Lashon. In the Sefer, where it says Achiyachtevenu Ashuris, that's talking about the Ksav itself, the Tzuris Osios. And the Tzuris Osios have to be Ashuris. And the Brisa points out that if the Tzuris Osios were in a Ksav Ivri instead of a Ksav Ashuris, the Sefer is Posel. So as the Reish is talking about where he fulfilled the requirement of Ksav Ashuris, but he messed up on the Lashon. Why? Because he didn't write it in the right language. The Sefer is talking about where he wrote it in the correct language, right? Mikra Shiksova, Mikra Tagma Shikata. But what did he mess up on? On the Ksav itself. So the Reish is talking about a psul in Lashon, and the Sefer is talking about a psul in Ksav. That's called Litzdadim Ketani. And now we're back to the original stira against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says you can write a Sefer Torah in any Lashon, and the Brice is telling us that if you messed up on the Lashon, like for example, instead of writing Yigar Sadusa, you wrote Gal Eid, or instead of writing some other word in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, you wrote it in a translation of Aramaic, then the whole Sefer is possible. And that's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah allows any Lashon. Ella says, Abaye, I have a different way, a different approach to reconcile this theory of Lokasha. Harabanan, Haraban Shimagam Liel. Our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbanan, who says the Sefer Torah could be written in any language. However, this Brisa reflects the Shita of Shimon Gamliel. He doesn't allow you to write the Sefer Torah in any language. So the Gemara asks right away on Abaye, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel does in fact does validate a Sefer Torah, at least in one other language, Ha'ika Yevanis. And the Brisa seems to assume that any Any other language, right? Because again, the way Abai learns the Sefer of the Braisa, Achich Tevenu Ashuris, means that the Sefer Torah has to be written in Ashuris and only in Ashuris. That's not true. If the Braisa reflects the Shita of Shimon Gamliel, then it's not fair to say that the Sefer Torah has to be written in Ashuris and only in Ashuris, because in fact the Sefer Torah could be written in Yevonis. So you'll see, Rav Moshe, later on in the sugya, the Gemara is going to go back and try to resurrect this pshat of Abai from the dead. But right now, this pshat is completely rejected, and the Gemara now substitutes a different reconciliation. Elo kasha kan b'svarim kan b'tfilin u'mezuzas. We thought that the subject of this brisa, that was our assumption, was tfilin, was svarim, and therefore we had a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa, because our Mishnah validates any Lashon, whereas the Braisa requires Ashuris, and only Lashon Ashuris is kosher. The answer is that this Braisa is not addressing the case of Sefer Torah at all. It's addressing the case of Tefillin and Mezuzahs. With regard to Tefillin and Mezuzahs, there's no Hechsher of Tefillin and Mezuzahs unless it was written in Lashon Ashuris. It's got to be written not only in Ksav Ashuri, but also in Lashon Ashuri. And that's one, fine. And Eino Chinami, at this point, we can go back to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says, Ein bein svarim l'tefillin and mezuzah, el shesvarim l'tav b'chol lashon. Tefillin and mezuzah ein l'tav b'chol ashuris. So that the Lashon, again, as far as the Ksav is concerned, Sfarim, no less than Tefillin and Mezuzahs, requires Ksav Ashuris. The Chiddush Mishnah is that the Lashon, and Moshe has said very well, the transliteration could be from another language, but that's not valid in the case of Tefillin and Mezuzahs. So at this point, the Gemara wants to know, basically, my timer, meaning, let's go back to the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says that Tefillin and Mezuzahs cannot be written in another languages. Why should Tefillin and Mezuzahs be different than a Sefer Torah? If a Sefer Torah could be written in any language, why can't Tefillin and Mezuzahs be written in any language? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Dechsim Bahu. The Pasuk says, in Parshas Vayeshlach, I'll read the whole Pasuk. It says, V'hoyu ha'dvarim ha'el, asher anochi b'tzav chayom al levavecha. And the word V'hoyu is always interpreted by Chazal, al pi Torah Shebaal Peh, as B'havayasan Yiv. Whenever it says V'hoyu, I mean, we'll have this in Gittin, and in other places, Havayasan Yu means it's got to be the way it was meant to be, in the original form. And what's the original form? So this is the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon Kodesh Nemra, that the Torah was given in Lashon Kodesh. So when the Torah introduces the parasha of Tefillin in Vahayu Advar Ma'ela, the word Vahayu tells you, Havayasan Yu. So the Gemara says, so now you're telling me that the Bryce is talking about Tefillin of Mezuzahs. Well, there's no word called Gigar Sadusa in Tefillin. Let's go back to the Reisha. My, what does the Bryce mean in the Reisha when it says, quote, Targum Sheksava Mikra? Okay, Targum Sheksava Mikra, maybe we can live with, right? But wait, let me just go back for a second to the Braisa. So again, there are two cases in the Braisa. Please give me a minute. I just want to get this clear. So again, there are two cases in the Braisa. So there's one case called Mikra Shiksovo Targum. That could make sense. Why? Because instead of writing the Tefillin in Lashon Ashur, Lashon Kodesh, he wrote it in a Targum form. He translated it into the vernacular, which was then our Aramaic. That's called Targum. But let's look at the next case in the Braisa. The next case in the Braisa is Targum Sheksavo Mikra. Frekta Gemara Mai, what could be a case of Targum Sheksavo Mikra? Instead of writing it in Targum, he was meant to write it in Targum. My Bishlema Torah, in the case of Sfarim, if the Braisa, as we originally posited it, was talking about a case of Sefer Torah, I understand very well, what does it mean? Targum Sheksavo Mikra, he took Gigar Sadus and he wrote it as Gal'ed. Ika, then there is such a reality. Yigar Sadusa. But in the case Elohacha, in the case of Tefillin and Mezuzahs, my, what word in the Tefillin and Mezuzahs was meant to be written in Targum? My Targum Ika, and instead he wrote it in Lashon Ashuris. Yeah, Lashon. Just wanted to get to that point. We're good?
Yeah.
Oh. Ella says the Gemara, we have to find another way of interpreting this Braisa if we want to reconcile this Braisa with our Mishnah. And now the Gemara goes back to its original, Abaye's original possibility that the Braisa reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Yeah, what does it mean, Rav Shimon Gamliel? That you cannot write a Sefer Torah in another language? Well, that's not exactly true according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, because in fact Rav Shimon Gamliel does have at least one language in which you're allowed to write the Sefer Torah, namely what? Yevanis, Lokasha. What's the subject of our Braisa? The Megillah. Vekan, the Sfarim. That's when Rav Shimon Gamliel allows you, he permits you to write a Sefer Torah in Yevanis, that's only a Sefer Torah. But in the case of a Megillah, which is the subject of this Braisa, this Toseft is a Masechta Megillah, because it's addressing the case of Megillah's Esther. And Megillah's Esther, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you're not allowed to write the Megillah's Esther in any language whatsoever. It's got to be Lashon Ashuris. It's got to be Lashon Kodesh. And the possibility of writing a Megillah in Greek, transliterated in Ashuris, is not a possibility. My time, why is Megillah different than any other part of the Torah? Dechsiv ba, it says in Megillah's Esther in Perek Ches. I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, "Ve'el ha'yehudim." The letters were sent out to the Jews. Kiksavam u'kilashonam. And what that means, it was written in Lashon Kodesh. That was the spoken language for the Jewish people. And therefore, what the Bryce is talking about is the fact that in Megillas Esther, you cannot deviate from Lashon Kodesh. And even if in Sifrei Torah, for some strange reason, Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to permit you to write Sefer Torah, Dafka and Yevanis, of all the languages on the face of the earth, which we later on the Gemara is going to derive that from a pasuk of Yachdol Kiliyevet. But with regard to Megillah, we don't have this allowance to write a Megillah in any other language other than Lashon Kodesh. So the Ksav, of course, has to be Ksav Ashuris, but even the Lashon has to be Ashuris. And that's based on the pasuk that says, "Ele Yehudim kiksavam ukilashonam." In Yiddish, we would say, "Tos abzunder gzeres shava gzeres hakasim in Megillah." Abzunder halacha. It's a separate halacha, unique halacha in Megillah, that Megillah requires lashon ashuris. Oh, now let's go back to the first part of the Braisa. You know, we just rejected the fact that the Braisa would be referring to tefillin and mezuzah because we couldn't work out the Targum Sheksavo Mikra. So when we get to the Megillah, you can interpret this Braisa as referring to Megillah's Esther. Is my Targum Sheksavo Mikra Yika? What have you gained anything? Yeah, you're back in the same blood, in the same mud. Amar Rav Papa, and here the Gemara offers two interpretations, two opportunities of words in the Megillah that are written in Lashon Targum, and instead he wrote it B'Lashon Mikra. The first possibility Rav Papa presents is V'nishma Piskam HaMelech. The word Piskam means the word of the Melech, the word of the king. You know, as people will comply with the word of the king and they will live up to what the king demands. And the word in the Megillah is Piskam. Piskam is not a word in Lashon Kodesh. It's a word in Aramaic. The Aramaic translation of the word Davar is Piskam. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kamer, he has another possibility, another option of a word in the Megillah that's written in Lashon Targum. V'chol ha'noshim yitnu yekar lebaleihem. And the word yekar is a Targum of the word kavod in Aramaic. So the Hebrew word in Lashon Kodesh for giving respect to a wife, to a husband, okay, this you have, maybe you don't want to teach this to your wife, but it could be a good idea, maybe, I don't know, that the respect that you have to give, a wife has to give to a husband, is called kavod, that's in Lashon Kodesh, but in Lashon Aramis it's called yikar. There's a whole discussion here about the word yikar. It seems that in Sefer Daniel, which is written in Aramaic, the word yikar appears. And it's used as a targum of the word kavod. And if we go back to Rav Papa, the word piskam also appears in Sefer Daniel. So they go through different chapters in Sefer Daniel, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're right about an assumption that there's a word, that there's a word. Usher, do me a favor, remind me to speak to Ech Korimlo, to Ben, to take me off this list, because I keep forgetting to put it on. Sorry. Okay. So again, so let's go through the Maskanas HaGemara. How do we reconcile the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The answer is that we're differentiating within the context of Rav Shimon Gamliel between all Svarim and Megillah. As far as Svarim in general is concerned, Rav Shimon Gamliel permits you to write it even in Yevanis. The Braisa is talking about the case of Megillah's Esther, and then the Lashon, again, the Ksav always has to be Ashurus, but the Lashon has to be Lashon Ashuri, and that's a separate halacha in Megillah. Rav Ashi has another way of reconciling the Braisa and the Mishnah. We don't have to get into this whole discussion about the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Leave it all out. But rather, we're talking about Nevi'im and Ksuvim. You remember that when we first learned this Mishnah at the beginning, or maybe it was the end of the week, last week, we said that the Mishnah is talking about Sfarim, not just the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it's also discussing Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Oh. Ki Tanya Ahi, when the Braisa says that you need Lashon Ashuris, not only Ksav Ashuris, but even Lashon Ashuris, that's Bishar Sfarim. There we're talking about Nevi'im and Ksuvim, V'Rabbi Yehuda Hi. And Rabbi Yehuda has a unique shita, as we'll soon see, and he's going to derive it, that even when you write something in Lashon Yevanis, and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, they were matir writing in Lashon Yevanis, a Sefer Torah, and again, the Chachamim for sure would allow it in Yevanis, that's only permission with regard to the Torah, but not with regard to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And Rabbosai, this is, it's mamish min hashamayim. It's unbelievable that we're learning this, because this is the Gemara that you'd have to learn for Asar B'Tavis.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling that we're learning this Gemara in Asar B'Tavis. And if you've noticed, my tone of voice was a little bit pressured because I'm trying to get to this Gemara. Okay? Because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that to translate the Torah into Yevanis was a separate matir, a separate heter that they allowed based on Talmai HaMelech, which is something that we would have commemorated on 2 days ago on the 8th of Tevis, but we combine all three, right? There are three tragedies. There's the tragedy of the translation, and we'll see why it's a tragedy. The translation of the Torah, that they permitted to translate the Torah into Yevanis because of Talmai HaMelech. That took place, I think, if I'm not mistaken, on the 8th of Tevis. On the 9th of Tevis, Ezra Sofer died. And we really had 3 days of fasting because the siege around Yerushalayim was on the 10th of Teves. But what we're going to do is we're going to make it easy for ourselves. We're going to fast one day and we're going to kill three birds at one stone. But one of those three birds is the one that we're learning about today. The Sanyo, we have a Braisa. Tefillin of Mezuzah, Einam Nichtavim, El Ashuris. The only Lashon you're allowed to use for Tefillin of Mezuzah is Ashuris, and that's based on the Pasuk V'Hoyu. For Aboseinu, He Tiru, Yevanis. And the Chachamim, again, this is a very unique sheet in Chachamim. It doesn't reflect itself in our Mishnah, and it's certainly not the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But the Chachamim allowed even a Sefer Torah to be written in Yevanis. Okay? Again, this reflects also the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And now, the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression, if you will. We're going to get to the end of this Braisa, which is Rav Yehuda, in just one moment. But first, the Gemara makes a digression. And the Gemara says, how could it possibly be that Tefillin and Mezuzah, according to Rav Hosseini, could be written in Yevanis? Nobody holds like that. Even Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he allowed Yevanis, that was only for Sfarim, but not for Tefillin and Mezuzah. Vaksiv. The Pasuk says, Vahayu, and we dash in the ready, Vahayosin you. Ela Ema, we have to change the gears of the Braisa. Take out the words Tefillin and Mezuzah, and instead read it as Sfarim. Sfarim Nichtavim B'chol Lashon, meaning the first opinion in this Braisa reflects the sheet of our Mishnah, for Rav Hosseinu, and the second sheet reflects Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hitiru Yevanis. They allowed you to write a Sefer Torah in Yevanis. So the Gemara asks the following question. Hitiru Michlal, it seems that from the fact that Rav Hosseinu Hitiru, it would imply that the Tanakhama Asar, the Tanakhama would not allow a Sefer Torah to be written in Yevanis, and nobody seems to maintain that, because everybody agrees that in Yevanis you could write a Sefer Torah. So again, we have to go back and fix up this Braisa. Ela Ema, we have to say that this is what the Braisa is referring to. Rav Hosseinu, Lo Hitiru Shikasfu Ela B'Yevanis. The Rabbeinu here is the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And the only language which they allowed a Sefer Torah to be written in, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, is Yevanis. Against the Tanakhama, this Braisa, who reflects the Shita of our Mishnah, that a Sefer Torah could be written in any language. And now we go back to the Braisa. After this digression, Vesanya, and the Braisa now quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Af Kishitiru Rabbeinu Yevanis. Don't get the wrong impression, don't jump the gun here, that when they came up with a separate heter to translate the Torah to Yevanis, is don't think that this was a carte blanche heter that would apply to all parts of the Torah. Lo itiru ela b'sefer Torah. But they never were matir for Nevi'im uksuvim. Why were they matir sefer Torah? So again, we're now holding that basically a sefer Torah, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's Rav Hoseinu here in this Braisa, would have to be written in Lashon Ashuris, against our Mishnah. But Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to allow permission to write a Sefer in Yevanis, and comes along Rav Yehud, and he qualifies, and he restricts that. The heter of writing a Sefer Torah in Yevanis is only applicable to a Sefer Torah, but not to Nevi'im Iksuvim. And all this is based, Mishum Maisa de Talmai HaMelech, that there was a special heter to translate the Torah into Yevanis, and this is the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and now we could add Rav Yehuda, but that was only as far as the translation of the Sefer Torah itself. Now here, I have to share with you the Sfas Emes and the Chasam Sofer, because they don't understand what's going on here. Okay, Talmai HaMelech took, as we're going to soon see, took 72 Chachamim and locked them up in different chambers and forced them at the point, you know, at gunpoint, to translate the Torah into Yevanis. Therefore, for Dorei Doris, for all generations, because that one Maisa Talmai HaMelech, we're going to allow writing the Sefer Torah, again, transliterating the Sefer Torah from in Yevanis with, again, Ksav Ashuris. It doesn't make any sense. So here we have two Shitas. We have the Sfas Emes, and we have the Ksav Sofer. The Sfas Emes claims that, in truth, on a Doraisa level, all the Chachamim, there was never a machlokes, agree that you could write the Torah in any language. The whole Iser, which Rav Shimon Gamliel postulates, and Rav Yehuda is on board, is that the Torah cannot be written in other languages. That's all an Iser d'Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan were matir that Iser because of the pressure of Talmai HaMelech. Fascinating Sfas Emes. Again, this would probably take a month to really appreciate the Sfas Emes and all its... in all its permutations. So again, let me just go over the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes is saying that not only the Chachamim allowed a Sefer Torah to be written b'chol lashon, but even the Tanoim that disagree with the Chachamim agree on a Doraisa level that you can write Sifrei Torah in any language, as long as it's Ksav Ashuris. The Rabbanan didn't want to allow this, but they made a leniency in the case of Yevanis because of Talmai HaMelech. Oh, now here's the punchline. Vehem lo rotzu leso ledoros es masha osu azkenim. Since historically 72 zkenim had to permit themselves to write, to translate the Sefer Torah into Greek, the Chachamim didn't want to insult the zkenim, so to speak. Oh, you guys did an avera, so to speak. Even though, again, it was personally perfectly permissible, but it would look very strange throughout the Doros if the Chachamim did something, translating the Torah as a word into Greek, which is not acceptable. So the Rabbanan therefore made it a carte blanche heter for all Doros. Again, this only makes sense as the Sfas Emes if you postulate that the problem of Sifrei Torah and other Lashonos is a Durabbanan. You know, in Rabbanans, we play around. We have something called Hey Mamru Behey Mamru. Are you familiar with that phrase? You know, they made the Iser, and they can define, they have the authority to define the purview and the scope of the Iser. So they said, you know what, Yevanis is not included in this Iser. Don't transliterate the Torah from any other language except for Yevanis, because at one point in history, the 72 Zkenim had no choice but to translate the Torah to Yevanis, and we will matter it. And therefore, we're going to leave that heter l'doros. That's the Sfas Emes. The Ksav Sofer takes a different approach, and he says the following. But this, you have to be metaphysical to understand this Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer in general very often gets metaphysical. I think also he had an impact on the Chazon Ish. Also, sometimes gets metaphysical. And he says that the fact, as we soon see, that all these 72 Zkenim, that's going to be the subject of tomorrow's shiur, they all came up with the same identical translations of the Torah. There are many problematic parts in the Torah if you transliterate them literally. Mm-hmm. They generate philosophical and theological problems. And they all came up with the same identical translation into Greek, even though they were separated in 72 different lot chambers. That itself was a great miracle that took place. And you might ask me, so why should we fast for a miracle? But okay, we have to get into the whole question of why it's terrible that the Torah was translated. And Art Scroll, by the way, in their introduction, they have a whole thing to justify why they're translating all these books into English, which in and of itself is a problem, unless you're Korean, that's a great thing, okay? And he says the following, Shanes Nasalahem, Kevon Shanes Nasalahem, because of this great miracle, Roch HaChamim, this is metaphysical, Sheskimu Imoyim Min HaShamayim V'Dover Zeh. Now, why philosophically the Torah could be transliterated into only one language, and that's Yevonis? For that we have to learn Rav Huttner, if you're familiar with the Sefer by Rav Huttner called the Pachad Yitzchak. Mean anything to you? Did you ever hear of Rav Huttner? No? Rav Yitzchak Huttner?
I heard of
Rav Shiva Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. Anyway, so he has a very profound understanding of Yevonis, and the Gemara is going to later on quote Psukim about Yevonis. And in the next 5 minutes, we'll just get a taste of what we're going to do tomorrow. We can't exhaust it today, we don't have time. But the Sanya Maisa B'Talmai HaMelech, he was the king of Eretz Mitzrayim, and he was Greek. Shekines Shivim Ushnayim Zekenim. He wanted to get access and to have an understanding of the Torah Shebichsav. And Belina, tomorrow we'll try to discuss why that is so. Now, it's very strange. The Brisa here tells us that Hekines Shivim Ushnayim Zekenim. The number 72 is a little bit off base, because the Sanhedrin was made up of how many members? 71, not 72. In other words, if you count the Nasi, who was Mamuna on the 70s game, the maximum number you'll get to is 71. So the Rosh Hashanah's whole discussion here, why did he choose 72? All right. In any event, Hithnisa Meshivim Ushtayim Batim, he put them into 72 different chambers or houses. And he didn't tell them up front why he was, because he understood if they would knew what his goal was, they would confer one with the other and work out all the glitches and all the translations of problematic psukim al makinsof. So he didn't tell them. Nichnas eitzel kol echad v'echad v'omalem kisvu lis Torah Moshe Rabchem, translate the Torah of your Rebbe Moshe into Greek. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lev kol echad v'echad eitzel. And as the Chassam Sof would say, there was a great miracle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this understanding, this wisdom in the hearts of each one of these 72. V'skimu kulam l'deah achas. And they all came up with the exact identical translation of these problematic psukim, the first of which we'll take a look at now. For example, Bereishis bara Elokim. Again, this is a very problematic pasuk when you translate it literally. Bereishis sounds like it's referring to some sort of god or some sort of divine deity. Bara Elokim created God. I mean, is there something like above God that created God? So what's all that about? And instead they translate it as Elokim bara Bereishis. That Bereishis is referring to the universe, and Elokim created the universe. But if you read it literally, Bereishis bara Elokim, Bereishis is the creator. As if to say that there's some deity that created what we call Elokim, God. And this has to do with the popular, this was in Persia and other countries, the popular belief in what's called deism, that there's more than one God. And then it says, what does it say in the pasuk? Nasa Adam, correct? Nasa Adam, we will make man. What do you mean we will make man? Again, if you believe in deism, it's perfect, right? We will make man, meaning the two gods decided, let's make man. So instead they translated it as Esa Adam, I will make man, B'Tselem U'B'Dmus. Now Chazal, tell us why it says in the pasuk Nasa Adam. And the reason is because God was conferring with the Malachim. This is meant to teach us a moral principle that, you know, the CEO should first bring in some of his the members of his panel and confer with them and consult with them before he takes a decision. That's the Midah of Hanava. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he made that giant leap, and he was willing to write something that's very problematic if you translate literally of Nasa, then we will make man, or let us make man, knowing that the Apikorsim would distort the interpretation, but he had to teach us that there was no compromise. He would have to teach us this Midah of Anova. And then we have Vayachal Elokim. Now let's read first, before we read the Braisa, let's read the Pasuk in Chumash. It says the following in the Chumash. It says, Vayachal Elokim Bayom Hashvi'i Melachto Asher Osa. That seems to imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Melach on the seventh day, because it says, when did he terminate his Melach? Vayachal Elokim Bayom Hashvi'i. And instead, all the Chachamim unanimously translate as Vayachal Elokim Bayom Hashishi. Again, the statement, it doesn't say in the Pasuk, B'yom HaShishi, V'yishpos B'yom HaShvi. It says in the Pasuk, V'yichal Elokim B'yom HaShvi Malachto, on the seventh day he terminated. And Chazal can interpret this Pasuk as saying that this is something that a human being is not capable of pinpointing, that millimeter of a second, that fraction of a second in which there's a transition between Yom HaShishi and Yom HaShvi. But in any event, all the Chachamim came up with the same interpretation. Okay, Rabbosai, so we'll stop here. Let's just see if we can make a note of where we're up to, because if you guys can help me with that, there's a good chance that I'll forget. I'm trying to make a note myself, but we're up to Zohar Unikeva Bura'o. Okay, because in our pasuk it says Bura'o, which again is in the plural. They created male and female. And by the way, if any of you have ever heard of an essay by my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, called The Lonely Man of Faith, so he spends half of the essay trying to reconcile two versions of the creation of man. In the first parak of Bereishis, it seems that male was created separately, and then female. No, just the opposite.
No,
in the first parak, it's male and female together, and then in the second chapter,
yeah.
Have you read Lonely Man of Faith, Moshe?
No, but
I'm not recommending it unless you have a PhD in philosophy.
No,
but
the Maharal talks about it. The Maharal talks.
Oh, okay.
On it.
My father has a.
He's big in Maharal. Of course, he's from that.
Right, he must quote the Paganisic a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's one of the famous Chaim Berliners.